Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. God bless. God bless you. This is Pastor Omar Zachary, and you're tuned in to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. And we're here, we're on, and we thank God for another opportunity. We definitely do apologize for the technical difficulties from last week, but we thank God that we're on tonight. We're grateful for Elder Oliver and his platform and allowing us to be able to have Bible study from wherever we are. Some are at home, some are probably at work. I'm sitting out here at baseball practice, getting ready to head back home, hopefully in a few minutes. But we're just thankful. Hopefully everyone has had a great day, had such a great time on Sunday. And the preacher, Minister Tobert, was preaching, talking, I think it was about who's in control, who's in charge. And had such a great word, a great expository teaching, line upon line, and just challenging us to live a holy life, live a sanctified life, and if we know our world does have a problem, and that's a sin problem, and we just want to encourage the believers to stay with God, chase after God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. We got a great lesson tonight that's really going to be picking up, really going to pick up from Sunday. As I was studying and reading, I was like, yeah, this is pretty much a continuation. And we know God's word, as often as people try to discredit it and try to make it seem like it's old and all that. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, and we can use it. It's just as effective now as it was back then. And we do understand there are some things that was for the people then. There were some things that was strictly for Israel, for the Jews, and most of that was Old Testament, even though the church, sometimes we try to fit a lot of stuff that was strictly for them. We try to apply it to us, and a lot of times when we're doing that, we mess up. But we thank God. We're going to say a word of prayer, and my lovely wife will be meeting us in our study on tonight. Listen, I want to encourage you, especially those that were there Sunday. Hopefully you have started your fundraiser. There's some that we're doing for the church, those calendar fundraisers. So just want to encourage everybody to, hey, the worst a person can say is no, and that's all right. If they say no, that's okay. So let us do our due diligence in trying to, trying to fill our calendar up. It's not going to me. It's going to our church. So I just want to thank y'all in advance for trying. All right. Father, we thank you, appreciate you as we come now to enter into this service. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that's been shown toward us. We thank you that your word won't return to your born, and David did declare that your word had been hid in his heart, and that's what we want to do. We want to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you, knowing that your word is a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask that you anoint our teacher tonight and anoint those that are going to be the panel, those that are going to be on the panel. And thank you for those that are listening. And we know that something will be said tonight that will prick their heart, that will encourage them, that will also possibly bring correction. And we thank you that your word also does bring correction to our lives. So we just appreciate you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that's been shown toward us, and we don't take it for granted. We appreciate you, and we love you on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist Zachary, service to your hands. God bless you.
Amen. It's an honor to be a part of Bible study on tonight. I'm excited about the word. And when you're reading the word of God, if you don't get excited about it, you probably need to do a spiritual check. But I thank God for the opportunity on tonight and how he brought all of us through our work day. Whatever your work is that you do, God allowed us to come together again at this particular time to come together in Bible study. And to pick off of pretty much what my husband was saying as far as the Old Testament. And I thank God for my husband and my family and everybody that's on the panel. On tonight, we have such an amazing group of people that I've ever met in my life, and I truly love you guys. So I know they're gonna help me out on tonight. But I've got off work, and I've been working all day and training and teaching and all this different stuff. My baby girl, with our children, we got to speak life in our children. And the message that Minister Tolbert preached on Sunday, who's in control, you really have to, you got to step back and kind of really look over your life and see, is that light shining? Is the light of Christ, or if it's the enemy? Because if it's the enemy, there's no light. So once I got off work and everything and, ready to come home and fix dinner, all that good stuff, or however, I forgot she had her driver's, her test today to get her permit. Long story short, she passed her test and she got her permit. And she came by that, she was like, woo, God is in control. I said, yeah, God in control, lady. You better message on Sunday, you got that permit. So she was excited. But even our walk with Christ will affect those that are around us. And to go back to what I was saying, this particular psalm, as I was reading and studying it, it was saying that this psalm, the audience of this psalm was for the ancient Israelites who were under the old covenant and followed the Torah. But Christians today are under the new covenant brought by Jesus and his death and resurrection. So a lot of times, I don't think I've ever spoke on this particular psalm, but I always like to refer back to what did Jesus say pertaining to anything that I'm talking about when it comes down to the Old Testament. And that's something that I was taught even in seminary under covenant fellowship with my husband's father. So when you're dealing with the Old Testament, which we're going to be doing tonight, but it's so relevant. It's so relevant to right now. I remember, a few years ago, we were saying, what's the scripture? It slipped my mind. About the wicked and, a comment was made, well, that's not talking about us. That was talking about, that was in the Old Testament. I was like, well, do we not still have wicked people around here now that this scripture will still help and help them change their ways, okay? So on tonight, if you can turn with me, for those that are listening, I pray that you get something out of the word on tonight. I have so many notes. I'm like, oh, my God, this is good. I'm going to have to do part two, third Sunday. But we're coming out of Psalms 1, the very first Psalm. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6, which is the whole chapter. Ooh, excuse me. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and jump in. So the word of the Lord reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, does he meditate day and night? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, on tonight, I don't have topic, but we will be dealing with God, with the godly and the ungodly. So the summons begins with the character condition of a godly man, not just a man, but a woman as well. A description of the godly man's spirit and godly man's spirit and way by which we are to try ourselves. Okay? We're not supposed to just read God's word, but we're also supposed to be doers of the word as well. The Lord knows those that are his. Are you his on today? Are you his? Do you belong to Jesus? Or do you not know? Are you confused? Like, oh, well, today, you know, I'm really feeling, you know, feel like doing the right thing and being on the Lord's side. But then what about tomorrow? It shouldn't, you know, you got to make a choice. Whose side are you on? Do he know your name? He knows us by name if we belong to him. When I was reading this, I don't remember the man's name that said it, but he was saying that the devil knows your name but calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. That didn't touch me. I was like, that'll preach right there by itself. So I read again. The devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Which one do you fall in? This is a psalm of instruction concerning good and evil. So that could be a topic there, good and evil, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose the right way which leads to happiness and joy, or the evil path that will lead to misery, okay? That will lead to misery. So that first word in this particular psalm is blessed. And when I was studying this in the Hebrew, you pronounce it Asher, which means happiness, contentment, joyful. So happy is the man. So a lot of times, you know, and I've heard this, so like you live in a miserable world of sin. It may not be miserable right now because you're in it. But if you stay there and you die in your sins, judgment, hell waits at the door. You. Amen. So choose the right way which leads to happiness and joy, or the evil path that will lead to misery. Verses 1 through 3, and we're going to go through them, teaches that those that respect God's word will enjoy spiritual prosperity and spiritual success. Okay? So let's go ahead and jump into it, okay? So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. A godly man, that he may avoid all evil. A lot of times we get stuck in playing defense. Well, I'm going to do this. The Lord knows my heart. Okay, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to get back in church, or you know, the Lord is still working on me, or let me get myself together. But you have to be careful of the company and who's in your ear, even in this particular time, okay? So you can't play with this world and its demons and think he's going to play fair. You have to renounce the companionship of evil doers. Everyone in your friend group, and I hear this all the time, oh, my friends, my friends, my friends. Okay, what is the lifestyle of your friend? Your friend group, lustful, crazy, nasty mouth. I think Mr. Tolbert mentioned that on Sunday as well. You know, you're around these things. You hear cursing and cursing and all this. Now you cursing. And you praying that the Lord deliver your tongue, but then you get around those familiar spirits and those things come right back up. So the counsel of the ungodly, okay, and that pertains, like I said, with your friend group, lustful, you know, adulterous, all these things that's in your area, okay? So be careful of what company you keep. You hang with the dogs. I used to hear my granddaddy say this, you're going to get fleas. I'm like, what? How does that work? But when I got a little older, I'm like, oh, wow, I understand. I had to break that down to my daughter. I was like, listen, this is what happens, because if you're around something long enough, amen, that's not of God, that stuff will, it'll rub off on you, okay? So you hang with them, which this is the ungodly, going places you shouldn't, partying, drinking. You know, the Lord knows my heart. He put it on the earth, so why can't I enjoy it? Didn't the Lord create everything? Those are for those that are ignorant of the word of God, and that's really, struggling and straddling and don't want to let those things go, okay? And I'll give this example. My daughter, she turned 21, and those that are listening, don't get it twisted. Just because you go to church, that does not mean everybody in the church is godly. That doesn't mean everybody in the church has your best interest when it comes down to living a godly life. So people, you know, she turned 21, and, you know, the supposed saints, you know, the Christians was like, oh, you're 21 now, so that means you get to get your first drink. That's worldly. That's not of God. In the church. In the church. And I'm just like, for our minds, where are our mindsets? We come to church, we hear the word, even tonight, those that are listening, you hear the word, but you have to begin to get a little deeper, praying and fasting for the Lord to unroot those things that's not like him. So that worldly mindset that you have, and that was hilarious to me. And at the same time, disrespectful at the same time. As far as, you know, ask my child if they're going to get a drink, you know, knowing that she's in the church and she's a young lady. So they should have been telling her, you know, even though you're turning 21, you know, you don't have to partake in those particular sins, those particular, you know, that foolishness, okay? But we as Christians shouldn't find ourselves with the people who's talking harshly about others, bashing and making fun of, because it's not of God, okay? And that goes with, let's go back. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who you're talking to, you have to make sure that you're getting godly advice. If you're dealing with certain things, you can't go to your friends that you go partying and hanging out with. You know, you have to seek wise counsel. If you are a married woman, you can't go to your single friends getting and sinful and those that are not saved, getting advice from them. And then listen to this. You can't even get advice from yourself, especially if you are not in the right mindset, or if you've been hurt by something, or, you know, you've been kind of, you know, fighting with this thing. You can't even take counsel from yourself. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners.
So to walk in the counsel of someone is to follow their ways. Okay? If y'all taking notes, y'all can write these notes down. To walk in the counsel of someone is to follow their ways. Okay? Follow their ways. So us as Christians, we should be able to do things to where people can copy what we're doing, because we're walking a godly life, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and it leads and guides us. Okay? So to walk in the counsel of someone is to follow their ways. Okay? So we don't want to find ourselves doing things that's not of God. And I took some good notes on Sunday of Minister Tober. Service was really good. So even with that, what Mr. Tober had said on Sunday, he said, you act out at the wrong time, and that one thing is going to override. I mean, it don't matter. You could have been the super saint, but that one thing, you acted out or you did a certain thing, you know, that was not of God, they're going to hold you to that, and that thing is going to stick out like a sore thumb. It's gonna stick out like a sore thumb, okay? So the ungodly are those that's not of God. It's simple. So the next part is, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Growing up the way I did in a holiness church with my grandfather, Bishop Moss, and also my father, this whole psalm was taken out of context. And I believe that it was just out of ignorance, not really knowing, or it was to have my control as far as a cult. That just is what it is, as a cult. But really studying this and getting into it, my eyes have been, completely open to a lot with this particular scripture. And it blew my mind. Even the little things we do, for those that are listening, even the little things that we do or say, it can affect us for the rest of our life. It can affect that person who you think that's not listening. They're listening to your conversation. They're listening to what you say. They're watching how you act. They're watching everything about you. Why? Because it's something in you that have drawn them to you. And it could be something that they're dealing with or suffering with, but they see you as a strong woman of God or a strong man of God that's godly and that's doing good and not evil, okay? So the little things can go a long, it can go a long way, okay? So let me go ahead and move on. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Does anybody have anything they want to say at this point? If not, I'll continue on. Let me finish out this verse, and we'll move on. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and we'll come back to that. But at this time, I'll open it up for anybody that would like to say anything.
Okay, first, lady, I got a comment. Oh, sorry. Pastor, you got it?
No, go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I'd just like to say definitely great lesson, and for us to be able to, man, continue to get an understanding on this word is awesome, because, you know, again, this is dealing with us. It's dealing with, you know, the real deal with the church. So what I got to say on this is, you know, just – and I would come from this angle, be aware of the company that you keep. You know, there should be some type of separation between the saints in the world, you know, and it starts with your own actions. You know, the word is telling us here to make sure that we establish and of course maintain a good foundation with God, and make sure that, you know, you're rooted and planted in the word of God, you know, and when we're doing these different type of things, then we got, you know, once we're, you're rooted with God and you got that connection, you know, you understand, you know, how we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to, I mean, how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and walk uprightly versus, you know, following, you know, the easy thing to do, which is, you know, following the ways of the world or the sinner, so to speak, you know, so, and like we're saying, like a lot of this scripture has been, you know, taken out of context, you know, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, you know, that's been misused and stuff like that, but, you know, making sure that we're applying it the right way, I'm taking it from the angle of, you know, making sure that, you know, as Christians, that we are not going to, we have to be in this world, but not of this world, as the scripture says. So making sure that we are living a righteous lifestyle and a holy lifestyle, but we are not, you know, compromising and continuing to compromise. And that's more of a big thing, especially within the church, making sure that we're going to hold steady for the word and not going to end up compromising. So definitely a good eye-opening scripture here. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. And in today's time, it just seems, and I'm sure it's been like this, but definitely now there seems to be no separation. Okay, there seems to be no separation between the church and the world. There should be a separation. There should be a difference. There should be, I mean, there's one side or the other. And, you know, from the funerals to, you know, just kind of everything we do, it just seems like everybody's going to heaven. No matter what they've done, no matter their lifestyle, no matter how they died, well, you don't know what God. Well, they died in sin. They died sinning. They practiced. They lived a lifestyle of sin. But the first thing we want to say is R.I.P. Well, I ain't getting no T-shirt. You know, we be having T-shirts and RIP fly high and look over us. And I'm thinking, like, you, first of all, they ain't looking over you. They probably looking up at you. But everybody ain't resting in peace. Somebody's going to hell. Ain't somebody, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of folk going to hell. All right, there's a lot of people going to hell. If I don't live right and you don't live right, you and I both going to hell. Okay? Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. And if we don't preach it, and if we don't tell folk that just as sure as my Uncle Curtis would say, Peachtree goes through Buckhead, folks are busting hell wide open. Folks are busting hell wide open. And we see through this scripture tonight, my wife, she read it, she ain't got to that bottom half yet, but, we got to keep preaching, and we got to keep telling folk, we got to keep crying loud and spare not, and letting folk know, okay, the only way to get to heaven is you got to go through Jesus. And it's more than just you repenting and saying that the Lord's Prayer or whatever. You got to, your lifestyle, you got to change. You got to come out from among them and be ye separate. Yep. There should be a difference between clean and unclean. There's a difference between holy and unholy. And what the problem is, the church wants to be, the church body as a whole wants to be relevant. That's why you look at, and I'm going to call it like I said, because I ain't scared of nobody. You look at a lot of these bootleg pastors, these bootleg preachers, they allow any and everything, they stand any and everything, and just whatever come up, come out. A lot of them are denying Christ or denying sound biblical teaching just to pack their church out. And God is going to get us. God is going to get us. Okay? So walking it, blessed is the man. As my wife said, start out with blessed. Okay? And the world will make you think blessed, meaning you got a whole bunch of money. You got a whole bunch of cars. You got, you know, a big house. That's what the world will make you think is blessed. But that's not blessed. You got folk with big houses and big cars, a lot of cars, and they're going to hell. And they can't take the car with them. It's a highway leading them down. But they can't drive on. They can't drive them cars on that highway. It's a broad road leading them to hell, but they can't take that Mercedes Benz and drive it down that hell road. Okay, so blessed is the man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And I got the degree. When I read that and looked at it, I was like, well, I ain't never looked at that part like that. Standeth in the way of sinners. I always looked at it as, there are scriptures that I guess we can apply it that way, where you're standing in the way, meaning the way you live is when the sinner looks at you, there's nothing about you that represents Christ. That's the way I always looked at that scripture. But then when I just studying it based on my wife sending out the scripture, I'm like, wait a minute, well, it's saying something that's even deeper. Standing in the way of sinners, which is goes with the counsel of the ungodly. You're standing in the way of sinners. You're doing what the sinners do. So not that you're participating. You are a part of what they're doing. There's nothing that's separating you. There's nothing that's dividing you. There's nothing that says, I'm God's child. I'm a Christian. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. Because you want to fit in. So every time they invite you out, you go out. Every time that man calls you over, you go over. Every time that woman calls you over, you go over. There's nothing that's dividing. And there should be a separation. There should be a separation, just like it's a separation between church and state. There ought to be a separation between the church and the world. Church and state, same thing. There ought to be a separation. There's got to be something different. And if that means, watch this and I'll be through, if that means you got to walk alone, then walk alone. Okay? I have to question anybody that's got a whole bunch of friends, especially a whole bunch of ungodly friends. They can always get you to go with them, but you can't never get them to come to church. You can't never. And think about it as a believer, and where there should be something strategic about you that sticks out, as my wife said, like a sore thumb. But nobody ever follows you to church. And let's take it a step on. No one has ever came to Christ because of you. You've never been able to witness and win a soul to Christ. Oh, how dwelleth the love of God in you? You've been saved all these years and can't count on one person that you drew to Christ. Not even talking about came to church, because it's more deep. You got a lot of folk going to church that's going to hell. It's deeper than that. But you can't go back in your memory and think of nobody that you helped lead to Christ. Thank you, Lady Zachary. Great, great word so far. Sorry for taking up all that time. Great word. That got me stirred up here.
Okay. Good. Thank y'all for those comments. And that's definitely one of the scriptures that I was reading. Mr. Tober said it, and, you know, my husband said as well, as far as there should be a separation, and that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, if those that are listening want to take notes and write that down. And it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So that goes back to, comes down to, and it literally disgusts me sometimes. I just turn the TV, or I'll just turn off the radio, or if I'm watching something on YouTube or whatever, I just turn it off, because it's like we're conforming to the world when the word of God is saying, is telling us not to, but we're doing opposite because we want to win souls, but at the same time, you're actually standing in the way because we're doing as they do. We're looking like them. We're talking like them. We're celebrating like them. You know, we're in clubs with them. It's not that we're trying. We're going in the clubs to, you know, to bring the sinners out, you know, get the strip off the pole. No, you're in there for your pleasure and for enjoyment. And about standing in the way of stand clear. And I was like, stand clear. But, you know, are we supposed to, you know, we didn't post no color. We said, yeah, that's a different situation. But here when it's saying, nor stand it in the way of sinners, as my husband was saying, yes, we should avoid doing as they do, but also have to stand clear. So we want to imitate what they're doing. You have to stand clear of the foolishness and things of the world, but it's like church has changed. The gospel haven't changed. The word of God has not changed, but we have changed. That's what's going on here. And even the end part of this, it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You have bishops and pastors and Christians that are scorning the church, bashing, talking harshly, making fun of the people. This is going on in the church. Omar, turn your radio down and see that. It's the church. It's what's going on. But even in scripture, it's here. We should be around that, those kind of all those back to devil, do your friends, do your family, they have to make you change when you get around them. I think I told them, I believe it was last month or something, you know, say when you're in the church, but what's going on when you're outside? He's playing for keeps, and we're just dealing with what's on the side. No, we're talking about
for the Lord and for him too.
And we're going to move on to verse number. All of the Lord. Does he meditate day and night?
Jesus, we know that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace, because when God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, not even knowing if we were going to accept him, but he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for the godly. Okay? So you may say, well, if we're not supposed to deal with sins, you know, Jesus, he ate with them. He sat down with the tax collectors and, you know, but no, that's a different situation. You're not Jesus, okay? It's nothing wrong, okay? Let me say this. So people say, we're not supposed to talk to somebody that's not saved, so how do we win them to Christ? If that's your mindset, you have missed the whole point of this so far, of this particular, these verses. We are the light of the world, okay? That light that sit on the hill that cannot be hid, okay? But we have to be careful of our company, the company that we keep, the things we listen to, the things that we watch, okay? Those conversations that we have that we think nobody else hears, but the Lord, he hears all of that, okay? So let's delight ourselves in the Lord. Okay, don't give up. Make it difficult, make it hard, but don't give up. And this is talking about the godly. Okay, so because
And let's go ahead and read verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay? So when I was reading this, of course, you know, I guess when I was school, I didn't care about history and all that stuff and learning, you know, but all these, especially with, you know, anyway. But verse 3, it's about that tree, okay? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And when I was reading this, of course, in Israel, ancient Israel, whatever, this in the Old Testament, of course, is in Israel. But, of course, in Israel is predominantly a dry place. So for a tree to grow and to flourish, it needed to be planted by a river. So this is what this verse is talking about. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Okay. And if you think about it, the previous verse, verse 2, is telling you to delight yourself. Okay. And if you delight yourself in the word of God and meditate on him, he is just like that tree that's planted by that river, a dry place. Everybody know Israel. Come on. You know Israel, a dry place, which the Old Testament, but for that tree to flourish, for you to flourish, you have to be rooted and grounded with the word of the Lord. Okay. But this particular tree, talking about an actual tree, it has to flourish and it needs to be planted by a river of water. If, in spite of if it rains or if it pours, because the tree is right by the river, it's continuously, constantly getting what it needs. It's constantly getting the getting what it needs to grow. So if you're planted in the word of God, you're getting what you need spiritually and godly to grow. But once you remove yourself from the word of God, now you are in a dry place. And in a dry place, there's no life. There's no life in a dry place that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. What does that mean? A lot of times, you know, of course, during fall, or if Sister Kenya, she's the help, you know, she helps me a lot if I have questions about planting and different things, if I'm trying to get a new plant and put it in the ground and it's not growing, like, it's, you know, it's dying, like, what do I need to do? Anything brown in that particular world of planting and all that good stuff, it's death. It's death. It's dying. But even with that, God can pluck that and you can come brand new if you just surrender and give your life to Christ, okay? And also in verse 3, because you're not weighed down with evil burdens, the burdens of others, someone else's, you know, issues that you have taken on as yours, and also back to that company, you know, the bad weeds and the things that's causing you to die, that withered leaf, that weight, that sin, those things that are weighing us down. The more we converse with the word of God, the better we'll be, the better furnished that we will be for not just us, but for the world. Amen. The happiness of a godly man that he's planted by the grace of God, that he's planted by the grace of God. And whosoever he do, and whatsoever he do it shall prosper. Whatever you touch will prosper. And we speak that. We claim it. Whatever our hands touch, those that have been praying and weeping and seeking the Lord, whatever your hands touch, it will prosper. And we believe it in Jesus' name. We believe it by faith. And this is dealing with the godly. So before we get into the, now I'm going to go ahead and finish this out, and I'm going to open it up and then turn it over to my husband to close us out. Okay, that's what we'll just go ahead and finish this out. So let's get into verses 4, 5, and 6, and I'm just going to read it through. The ungodly are not so. What does that mean, the ungodly are not so? Everything that I just said, the ungodly, does they don't get those benefits. They don't get those benefits because they are not of God. They're not of God. So the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, the wind driveth away. They have no substance. There is no weight to the ungodly. There's no weight to the ungodly. They come, they go, they do whatever else is doing. There's no substance. There's no weight. And when I was looking this up, it was like it's the outside covering of a grain. I believe it was something like that. With like even with cereal, the rice and the grain, like the things that covers that. You know, it has to come off. And if the wind can blow anything away, it's not stable. It's not firm, and it does not have any weight to it. So that's the ungodly. There's no weight. There's no weight there. Okay, so that's what verse 4 is talking about. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, that end part there, when it's talking about the sinners in the congregation, it was literally talking about the sinners in the congregation. Most sinners, and I've heard this so many times, I can't come in there. You know, the church might catch on fire. Just come on in here and see. That's the way they should come in there because they want to change their lives. Amen. Verse number 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's no, I was going to say there's no end, but it's definitely an end. It's eternity, burning in hell if you do not get your life right and give your life to Christ. But the ungodly can't have those benefits. It may look like they have those benefits right now. Well, I'm doing everything I can. I'm coming to church, but I keep getting this. And it seemed like they keep prospering. They got all they have, you know, got a house over here, house over there. It's all materialistic, but my faith in God is greater, and it's better than all of that. The wind drives it away. They can't stand in the Lord's presence. They can't stand in the Lord's presence. It's no way. In verse 6, the righteous, he will protect our way. And I'm closing here, and I'm going to open it up, and then, Omar, you can do, I guess, offering. But in verse 6, the Lord knows his own. The righteous, he will protect our way if we don't know our way. The righteous, he will protect our way even if we don't know our way. We know that we're living for the Lord, but even us as believers, we're still finding our way. But it's through the help of the Lord. Because he knows our way. The ungodly is on the broad way. There's no good end for the ungodly but hell if they don't change their life and give their life to Christ. So which category do you fall in? Are you with the godly or ungodly? Righteous or unrighteous? Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel. Blessed. Happy. So I hope you got something out of the message tonight. So I'm done, and I'll open up the floor for anybody that want to make any comments. So God bless y'all. Y'all be encouraged. Even when you're praying, you don't have to use all the big words, but talk to the Lord because that's your Father. And if you're listening tonight and you don't know the way, or you feel like you're not loved or you've been abandoned, the Lord has been right there. He's still there. He's waiting. He's waiting on you. You're not waiting on him, but he's waiting on you to drop everything that's of the world. Drop that old man. I think a few Bible studies ago, we talked about that old man. Drop that old man, and God will, that new man is refreshing. And even if someone brings up your past, that's fine. They do it. They've done it to me. You can bring up my past. You can bring what I've done. You can bring up what I've said, but that person don't live here anymore. So be encouraged. Save ain't hard, okay? Even for y'all that's listening, that's believable. Live and save is not hard, but y'all be encouraged. I love you all, and I pray that you have a prosperous, a beautiful, and a godly week. Be a witness and be a light to someone that may be lost. God bless y'all tonight.
Are we making remarks?
Oh, yes. Remarks and...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just didn't want to be out of order. I didn't know if Pastor was coming on.
No. You're good. Huh?
Can y'all hear me?
Now
we can. Hear you now. It was
I'm sorry. I don't know what was going on. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I was like, should I say something or not? Okay. So I just wanted to say great lesson, First Lady, as always. I love our Bible studies. I look forward to Tuesday nights, no matter who is teaching. It made me think about a scripture, Philippians 2:2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So obviously, you know, as Christians, like, you know, we're going to run across sinners, non-believers, but that's our opportunity to witness. But it's also important being on the other side, being around like-minded individuals, because depending on how strong you are, it can draw you backwards, whether it's to doing things that you used to do or, you know, if you were never into certain things or whatever. So some people, you know, they have just never partook in certain things. But like
right.
I said, being around certain individuals, it can make you go backwards from what you know is right. So it is important to be around like-minded individuals. Peer pressure for adults is real too. It doesn't just happen to children, you know, teenagers, young adults. Like, it still happens. And that's why I tell my son, because I have a 14-year-old, hey, watch who you're around, watch who you're talking to. Well, Mom, the other kids did this. And like my mama used to tell me, if they jumping off a bridge, you're going to jump too? Like, just because somebody else does something doesn't mean that you have to do it. And I just think that it's important to watch the company that you keep, even at our big age. It's important because, like I said, peer pressure, it is a real thing. And, you know, no shade, disrespect or anything of the sort, but, you know, for people that never, ever, ever go to church, I don't understand. Like, how can you not be in the house of God? Like, yes, the church is in you, but how can you not? Like, it's different being around people that are praising and worshiping and crying out to the Lord. Like, some of that rubs off on you. It should make you feel good. It should make you have a positive start to your week. So, you know, me personally, like, I'm not missing too much church. Like, no, I like to go to church. I enjoy being at church. I enjoy being around the saints, worshiping and fellowshipping and, you know, hugging and seeing, like I said, like-minded individuals. So great listening.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Tolbert. Anyone else on the panel?
Yes, I got a final comment. First off, great lesson. It's always good for us to, you know, definitely get a better understanding on how this thing works with Christianity and what we're supposed to be doing as saints. So what I got to say is, you know, it's going to be a difference between the saints and the folks that haven't accepted Christ. For the saints, it's great to know that the Lord will be on your side and you know where you're going at the end of this life, and that's with the Lord. But for the ungodly, you know, the ungodly will perish, regardless of what it looks like, because, you know, sometimes the ungodly folk look very, you know, prosperous, meaning that, you know, they look like they got everything together, but the truth is they are missing something very important, and that's God. You know, so imagine,
yes.
you know, making a good cake, or imagine making your favorite dish, but you forgot to add that key ingredient. And that key ingredient is what put the icing on the cake, so to speak. And Jesus is that missing key ingredient for the ungodly. So, you know, I would just like to say that, you know, we know that we got it, but for the ungodly, this is the time for those folks to come unto the Lord and be encouraged. Make sure that you, you know, give your life to the Lord. Why wouldn't you want to do that? There's so many benefits that come with it. But y'all stay encouraged. Definitely a great lesson on tonight. Thank you.
All right. All right. You know, I just received a message from Evangelist Books, and that they are muted. So they are on. I don't know if Ella Oliver, if you have a moment to unmute them or not before we close. But if y'all do, Evangelist Books, if y'all do get unmuted, then just interrupt me as I'm closing, and I'll let y'all speak. The scripture that came to mind to kind of further support what my wife was teaching, so good teaching on the night, I thought about Matthew 7:13-14. Says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So that scripture starts out, it gives you the answer. It gives you the direction. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. It's just right there. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Then it says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's a different gate than the straight gate. Okay, and that broad way that leadeth to destruction, it says, and many there be which go in thereat. Okay, but if you go back to that beginning sentence, enter ye in at the straight gate. Okay, and here you go back down, it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So when you read that those two scriptures, you start at that first, and then and that first sentence, and I guess that's verse 14. You jump right to 14. In other words, as we've been saying, there is a difference. Everybody not making it. Okay, everybody's just not. That's just, and I really feel, especially with this teaching tonight, and then from Sunday into tonight. It's a great deception. It's a great deception that the enemy has sent, and God is allowing it, okay, where people are thinking that they can just do anything, live any kind of way, and it's okay, and everybody's going to rest in peace. And that's just not facts, okay? That's just not true. So we got to continue to cry loud. These Bible studies, you know, the church, you know, we got to continue to preach holiness. We got to continue to preach and teach sound doctrine, okay, because as we see, we know the scripture warns us that hell has enlarged herself. It's gotten bigger. It's bigger, okay? It wasn't initially meant for us. It was initially meant for the devil and that third part, but because man refused to accept God and Christ, you know, it has enlarged itself. So it's a broad way. It's a broad way. And sometimes we feel like, you know, well, it ain't many of us, or I'm by myself. And it's okay, because if God be for us, I've said this for years, if God be for us, the who don't matter. It don't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter who's coming against and who's ridiculing and who's fault finding. That don't matter. People are going to be people. Okay? Let people do what they do. You just make sure you're in right standings with God. Because when it's all said and done, when the ceiling hits the fan, when it's all over, only what you do for Christ, and I heard that earlier today, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Ladies and gentlemen, this was a great, great teaching, great study on tonight. And as you stated, I've been to church all my life and looked at these scriptures one way. And no doubt I've preached it several times, but just the between the day when you sit the scriptures out and getting the chance to really go and look at them, it's like, wow, that's a total different way of reviewing. Remember, scripture always had one meaning. Okay, scripture only has one meaning, but there are many applications. There are many ways to apply it. Okay, there are many ways to apply it to your life, to apply it to someone else's life, to apply it to whatever situation you're in. Okay, but there's one meaning. There's one arrival. We arrive to one meaning, but many applications. All right. All right. I don't know if the bugs got on or if they were unmuted or not. If so, just say something and I'll let y'all speak. Lady Zachary, great word on tonight. I tell you what, I say it all the time. I put up our people against anybody. I put them up against anybody. We have some great teachers and great preachers. Small church, but a huge ministry. And we thank God. Amen. I'd rather have a few that I know with me than a whole bunch, and I don't know who to trust. So I thank God for sending us what's best and for being with us, and I appreciate everybody on tonight. Listen, I'm asking you, those that can tonight, to send a $5 offering. I don't normally do this. I'm just asking those that can to the church. Let's do a Tuesday night offering, asking that those that can. If the Lord laid on your heart to do more or just do your best, but I'm asking those that can do a $5 offering tonight to go to our church. The Cash App, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask y'all to do something that I'm not doing. I'm going to do it as soon as we hang up. $PTC877. Once again, $PTC. That stands for Praise Tabernacle Church. And the number's 877. And may the Lord bless you real good. Listen. Meet us Sunday morning at the 8:45 hour. The doors pretty much open around 7:45. That gives us a little time to set up. We're at 275 Simonton Road Southeast, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30045. Amen. It goes down at the Simonton Elementary School cafeteria, where we turn it into our praise headquarters, and we thank God for what he's doing in that building, in that place. So meet us there. If you can, if not, tune into our Facebook Live service. Okay, tune into our Facebook Live. Over the past few weeks or so, we've given back to the staff. We've heard from other deacons and their wives, from the ministers, from the evangelists. Amen. That's going to continue on this Sunday and next Sunday. And Lord's willing, I may be back up maybe fourth Sunday or first Sunday. I don't know yet. But I thank God for just being able to hear from others that he has sent to work with us. So we bid you Godspeed. And as my wife said, we pray that you have a great week. Invite somebody to church this Sunday. Invite somebody out. Okay, invite somebody to church. And we just give God praise. Father, we thank you as we get ready to leave this place and of your presence. We ask that you reign and rule in our lives, in our hearts. Help us to commend our ways to you, knowing that you'll direct our path, that you will lead and guide us into all truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to allow it to finish its work and do a work in us. And as this word came forth on tonight, there's a difference in the blessed and the cursed. There's benefits to doing the right thing, to living a godly life. And there's going to be rewards. There's going to be things that you have promised to us if we would just obey your word. And help us to hide your word in our heart. As we leave this place, beneath your presence, Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God bless you and have a great night.